Last week, we walked through the story of John the Baptist and Jesus' baptism. We noted that John was really popular. Today, he'd be a pop religious star figure. People were flocking to the Jordan River to see, hear, and respond to John. And you can imagine thousands and thousands wading into the muddied Jordan rivers to be baptized by John and his disciples. John's gospel tells us that the day after Jesus was baptized, two of John's disciples started to follow Jesus. I mean, they literally saw Jesus and literally started kind of shadowing him. Now, Jesus notices this. He stops, turns around, and in verse 38 said to them, "What are you looking for?" Friends, that's a great question. What are you looking for? Many of you will remember hearing about Maslow's hierarchy of needs. He listed five categories of essential human needs or core longings that we're all looking for. Physiological needs, safety needs, love and belonging needs, esteem needs, and self-actualization needs. Other psychologists and human development folks have played with these, teased them out, reworked them, relabeled them, but Maslow really kind of got us. He understood that human beings are longing for some things. We are driven to look for things, hungering, longing for things. And I think that's a God-given longing. We know enough about Jesus' disciples to know that several of them were business owners. Peter, James, and John were in the fishing industry. Matthew had been a tax collector. You may remember Nicodemus. He was a well-respected religious leader, a leader within the Pharisee religious order. In the book of Acts, we meet a career Roman military officer named Cornelius and a successful businesswoman named Lydia. All of these and others represent people who had invested a good bit of their lives in building careers, businesses, and reputations. One might think, hey, they've made it. They've done really well for themselves. And while there is certainly some truth to this, the fact remains they were looking for something more. It's still true today. Folks, I suspect many and even most of you have been shocked and appalled by the recent attack on our nation's capital. Thousands of people, passionate people, gathered to hear the president talk about a rigged and stolen election. They believed him. They believed him so strongly that they tried to thwart the constitutional act of counting the electoral ballots, which had been certified by each of the legislatures of our republic's 50 states. Why would they do this? Why would they embrace conspiracy theories and the baseless false narratives our president continues to spew? The answer is they are looking for something. They have deep, legitimate core longings that have not been met, and they're really anxious. In their need and anxiety, they heard Donald Trump present a narrative to explain what has happened to them and how he alone could and would correct it all and make their lives great again. Now, this is a simple explanation, but I don't believe it's simplistic. All people have core longings, needs, and when someone can convince them that they have the answer, folks will become, in varying degrees, fans of that person or group or team or ideology. And God help them and us when what they thought is the answer ends up having clay feet or no feet at all. Jesus said to those two disciples of John the Baptist, "What are you looking for?" Can I ask you, what are you looking for? Let me ask another question. How's it going? Henry David Thoreau, the American author, wrote, "Most people lead lives of quiet desperation." I think there's a lot of truth to that statement, but I don't believe it is what God has made us for. I think Jesus today is asking, "What are you looking for, and how's it going?" There's a part of this gospel story in the first chapter of John that really grabs my attention. The story tells us about Nathanael. Jesus says, I saw you under the fig tree. Now let's stop right there. Nathanael, I'm sure, had a job. He was making some kind of living, but he was under the fig tree. There was a tradition of Jews sitting under fig trees as a place of meditation and prayer, of seeking God. In the midst of making a living, Nathanael had developed the practice of seeking God. He knew that his work, while important and good, was not life. Life is not work, and work is not life. We're meant for more. He sensed this and pursued something deeper with God. Friends, Nathanael was on to something, and Jesus is going to take him to the next level. Jesus is going to fulfill Nathanael's deepest longings. In that same conversation with Nathanael, Jesus says to him in verse 51, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Nathanael, being a God-seeking Jew, knew that Jesus was alluding to the Old Testament story found in Genesis chapter 28. In that story, the Old Testament patriarch Jacob has a dream and sees a ladder extending from earth to heaven. Angels are going up and coming down as they interact with creation on God's behalf. Jacob wakes up and proclaims, "My gosh, this place is the house of God, Bethel. This is the gate of heaven, and I didn't even know it." In Jacob's mind, the place where he had this dream was a place where God dwelt on earth, thus house or temple of God. This place was the place where God could be found dwelling, interacting with and on earth. This place was the intersection point between God and creation and heaven. Jesus takes this story and uses it to help Nathanael realize that his longing, his craving, his what are you looking for, was standing right in front of him. Jesus is letting Nathanael know that Jesus is the temple or house of God. God's fullness is dwelling on and interacting on earth in and through the person of Jesus to bring God's reign, God's kingdom, God's will being done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, this would have rocked Nathanael's world because, as a Jew, he believed that God's presence was found in the temple in Jerusalem. So this Jewish man who seeks more of God, who wants to know God, who believes that God wants to be known, and whose presence on earth is somehow available in the temple located in Jerusalem, is now beginning to have a paradigm shift. Not a temple, not a fig tree. There is a man standing in front of him who says the fulfillment of Nathanael's deepest longings is to be found in this person named Jesus. If Nathanael could be with us this morning, I think he would ask us the question Jesus started with: what are you looking for? I think he would tell us his story. I think he would say, "I found what I was looking for in a surprising, unexpected person. I found Jesus," or maybe I should say, "Jesus found me." And that meeting with Jesus was the beginning of a life awakening I had only dreamed of. Friends, we're in the season of Epiphany. In Epiphany, we walk through the stories that reveal Jesus as God in the flesh, bringing his reign to people and circumstances and to the world. I've often said that Epiphany is like a light bulb turning on. It's when people say, "Oh, I see it. I get it. Now that makes sense." It's like an awakening, and they begin to move toward Jesus, begin to walk with Jesus, begin to go deeper with Jesus, and experience transformation. So today, we've started a new series called Awake. In this series, we'll walk through the Epiphany stories. And here's the thing. Any Epiphany, any light bulb turning on, can be like an awakening and a new beginning. Nathanael's story is a beginning story. His paradigm is turning, shifting, changing. A light bulb is beginning to turn on, and it will change his life. Nathaniel's story, friends, is our story, or it can be our story. What are you looking for? You may have been a churchgoer all your life. You can probably make a list of all the activities and things you invest in that in varying degrees fill your deepest longings. Friend, as good, fun, enriching, and laudable many and perhaps all these things are, including people and relationships, you were made for so much more. You were made for a deep, intimate relationship of love with the God who created you. You are made to house the fullness of God's presence and character. You are made to reflect the beauty, the love, the justice, the compassion, the joy, the holiness of God. And all of this begins when we move toward, meet, and take a walk with Jesus, who is the perfect, supreme revelation of God in the flesh, Emmanuel. Will you join me as I pray? Oh God, we are a longing people. We hunger for types of fulfillment. We long for love, and yet in the words of the old song, we too often are looking for love in all the wrong places. God, I confess I have made good things into ultimate things. I have pursued them, prioritized them, exalted them, hoping, believing they will meet my deepest longings. Yet my hunger still whispers, even gnaws within me. In this season of Epiphany, help me to hear again the stories of Jesus. Awaken my mind, heart, and soul to hear these stories with new ears, to reimagine them, and in doing so, to meet and experience Jesus in fresh and profoundly real ways that will transform my life. May Christ be and become my ultimate answer to the question, what are you looking for? Amen.